I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Man, I can't believe it's been a month already here in Connections, but we're back now with Paul Layton of the Salem News, covering primarily Beverly. Paul, how are you?
Good, Rick. Good. Really good. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, God. I can't do it without you, man. I just can't believe a month goes by like that. It's just unbelievable. But things, you know, as the Red Sox, as we record this on Thursday, postponed till Friday, I guess that's the bad news. But the good news is that, you know, we are in April. The vaccinations are rolling along pretty well here, and things seem to be looking a little bit brighter here on the North Shore.
Yes, no, I definitely feel that way, and I think we are making progress. You know, there has been a little bit of an uptick in cases, and so I think people still need to be concerned. I was actually, now that you mentioned the pandemic, I was speaking with Dr. Roberts, the CEO of Salem Hospital, this morning, and he said he's really cautioning people that we're really close, but please, you know, stay vigilant for like another month or so, you know, while this combination of vaccines and the warmer weather gets here. But yeah, I feel like we are getting closer.
Well, it's funny. I felt that way at Christmas, like, okay, we're so close to the end here. We won't celebrate. We won't get together. Now, here we are 4 months later. We're still saying the same thing, but it does feel closer, you know. And that leads me to another thought, Paul. This time last year, we weren't sure what was happening, and we were going 2 weeks at a time, and then things were beginning to close down again, and 2 weeks at a time. And, you know, they were talking about September, and September seems so far away. Now, I was just talking with the CEO of the Shallon Lou and Rockport Music, and Shallon Lou is planning to reopen, to completely reopen in September. And this time, September doesn't seem so far away. And you had a story, an article in the paper about similar activities in Beverly.
Yes, I spoke with the people who run the three theaters in Beverly. Beverly's a little bit unusual for a city of about 40,000 that it has three pretty good-sized theaters, the North Shore Music Theater, the Cabot, and the Lockham Theater. Those two are in downtown Beverly. And all three said basically they're hoping to reopen in September, sort of, you know, similar to what you're saying, but that's sort of the target date. And at the Cabot, they're planning to hold these outdoor performances at the Hale Farm, which is a property in Beverly, and that they did last year too, that went fairly well. So they are planning to do that in the summer. But so they're all hopeful that they can you know, get back and start having live performances again. That's one of the more difficult ones because, you know, concerts and the singing and so forth. I mean, you know, you need a lot of precautions in place to hold those type of events. And I also spoke with Beverly Main Street's Jen Wallace, the executive director of that group, and she was saying that, you know, downtown Beverly, she thinks, is poised to come out of this fairly well, considering, you know, all that's gone on, that they have lost a couple of businesses, but some new ones have actually, you know, planned to open soon downtown. And she said that she thinks there's actually going to be no net loss of businesses in downtown Beverly, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
So she sounded pretty hopeful, too, that things will hopefully start turning around.
Oh, that's great. I know at least two restaurants have been closed permanently in Gloucester, including the brewery, which was on Roger Street. I was walking Roger Street yesterday, and a hopeful sign, I think it might coincide with what you're talking about on Beverly Main Street. There was actually some outdoor dining on Roger Street in Gloucester. I think it was the Topsfield Grill. People were eating outside yesterday. It was a little bit nicer, of course, than today. And, boy, that's a nice sign of spring. But there seems to be a precedent here that there is going to outdoor dining is going to become a kind of a permanent thing, don't you think?
Yes. No, I definitely think so. You know, most of our communities passed these rules rather quickly last year to allow for outdoor dining. There were all kinds of restrictions on all this, and you'd see, you know, like you've seen in most places where you know, the Jersey barriers are up and people are, and the restaurants are taking space on the sidewalk and on the streets and so forth. So it will be interesting to see how all that works in terms of can it be a permanent thing in terms of, I mean, literally in terms of taking public land for, you know, private use. You know, I don't think anybody disagreed with it, you know, at the height of the pandemic, and I think it was a savior for a lot of these restaurants, the outdoor dining. But I'm be interested to see how it works going forward on almost a long-term basis, you know.
Interesting,
can,
yeah.
Can restaurants use sidewalks and in public streets all the time for this stuff? You know, I think it can work, but it's going to be interesting to see how it works out.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, a good point. Now, in our pregame warm-up here, Paul, we were talking about something along a Cabot Street renewal, and it got me to thinking about what's going on in Gloucester, similar to what happened in Beverly on Rantoul Street. And Rantoul Street, to coin a phrase, has been completely retooled. It's kind of amazing to me that you know what seemed to be not such a good-looking thing has become so successfully done. Now, what's going on in Cabot Street?
Well, in Cabot Street, the city has taken on this project. It's basically, they're totally reconstructing the main section of Cabot Street in downtown Beverly, and they got a lot of stigma to do this. So this is more than just the usual paving. It's, you know, new sidewalks and street lighting and trees, and they put in these, you know, bump outs, they call them, to try to slow the traffic as it goes through the downtown, and it's taken longer than was expected, in part due to the pandemic, and also in part due, you know, once you start digging, you find things on the ground, and they had to do new pipes and so forth. But so I did speak with some local businesses, because they're just is it this way? I think on Monday they're going to start to finish it up. The final month of the project will happen this month, which is the paving, and so that's just part of, you know, the improvements to downtown Beverly, and I think it's going to help the businesses. It's just, you know, the new sidewalks and lighting have been in for a while, but most people haven't been going downtown that much. Although, again, from speaking with some of the business owners, it's starting to get busier already, and I think having this project completed will really make a difference for them.
Sounds good. Now, I've been reading about the Victoria Rocky Post that everybody is familiar with, and I think I've been reading about it for various reasons. And I know a lot of people who've gotten married over there and have their wedding receptions. But something different in the works?
Yes, it's kind of an interesting story that this longtime Salem rug and carpet business called Landry and Akari, they have an agreement to buy the Victoria Rocky Post building. The Victoria Rocky is located on Brimble Avenue in Beverly, which is across the street from the Whole Foods Plaza that opened a couple of years ago, you know, right off of Route 128. And so what the business plans to do is buy the building and add a three-story addition to it, actually. And so they would have this showroom there, and they would actually, you know, make some of their product there. So it'll be a pretty big project, and the Victoria Rocky Post is this Italian-American veteran post that's been around for years in Beverly, and they plan to remain in existence. They need to find a new home eventually. I spoke with the people there, and part of the arrangement of this business coming in would be that the club could actually stay open in the basement of the building for up to 5 years while they find a new home. So the project still needs approval from a couple local boards. There are some concerns about traffic and so forth. It's in a busy place, like I said, especially with the Whole Foods Plaza, but I think it'll probably go through. So it's just interesting in that it's a new business, but it also involves this longtime social club in Beverly that's been involved in the community over the years.
Absolutely. Everybody knows where that is.
Yeah.
You know, as Al Needham would say, hopscotching the region. Well, hopscotch, I can't even say it, hopscotching Beverly. A couple of things that caught my eye in the last couple of weeks since we haven't talked, Paul, is you've got a new president coming up for North Shore Community College. You've got a new president presumably coming up for Gordon College. And Mike Cahill plans to run for re-election?
Yes. Yep. I checked with the mayor a couple of weeks ago, and because it's sort of that time of year where, you know, candidates begin starting to, as they say, pull papers. You can take out nomination papers from City Hall to, you know, and then you go to get the signatures to try to get it on the ballot. That actually happens starting next week in Beverly. But Mike did say he does plan to run. It's funny because he hasn't had an opponent in the last two elections, and I remember researching that last time around. That's the first time that's ever happened in the city's history that
really?
A mayor has run in consecutive elections with no opponent.
Wow.
So I think, yeah, I mean, you know, I think people think that he's doing a good job and that the city's making progress, but, you know, there could be other reasons, too. It's kind of difficult to get into politics these days and run for local office. You kind of expose yourself to a lot of things, especially on social media. You know, you could be criticized. So, you know, it takes a certain type of person to want to run for office. But as of now, and it's still early, there was no other opponent for the mayor for this year's election.
So reading between the lines, that means that you're not taking out papers to run for mayor?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Oh, geez. I understand that. Well, Paul, what's I want you to tease what's coming up, because you're working on so many things, and the Salem News is on top of stuff every day. I wish that papers could go back to. I remember when the Salem News, when I was over at WESX, we used to get the morning edition and the afternoon or evening edition.
Right.
And we got the Beverly Times. We got two editions of the Globe. I think two editions of the Herald. Two editions of the Record American.
Wow. I know.
That's all gone, but you still the papers serve such a valuable service, and I love having my paper at the table, you know, at breakfast time. So what are you working on? What can we look forward to?
Sure. Well, I think I mentioned I spoke with Dr. Roberts from Salem Hospital this morning, and I'll have a story on, they've just announced that they're changing their name back to Salem Hospital. I don't even know if most people would know that the name has officially been the North Shore Medical Center since 1993.
Okay,
and
not
changed
not...
it back then to reflect the fact that they had acquired, you know, Union Hospital in Lynn, and they had the North Shore Cancer Center in PBD. They had the Shaughnessy Rehabilitation Hospital. They had, you know, the North Shore Children's Hospital. So they had all these places, and they just felt to call it the North Shore Medical Center, you know, reflected their range of services. But since then, a lot of, you know, a couple of those places have closed, like Union Hospital closed, and these other services have been, you know, consolidated. And so anyway, the short of the story is they've gone back to calling themselves Salem Hospital, but they're also going to use the Mass General Brigham name on the Salem Hospital. They're, of course, part of the organization that was known as Partners, and they rebranded, I think, a year or so ago to be called Mass General Brigham, because that's the name recognition of the two major hospitals in Boston that lead this group that Salem Hospital is a part of. So anyway, I think it makes sense. The bottom line is this, you know, your patients aren't going to see a lot of changes, except the signs are going to change, the websites are going to change. But the idea is to capitalize on the brand name of Mass General and Brigham, and the idea that you can get the same quality of care as what Dr. Roberts said, and have access to the specialists the surgeons at Mass General and Brigham.
I can't wait to read the article, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't know it ever changed. I don't know what kind of a branding job they did before, but it's always been Salem Hospital to everybody that I know.
Right. Well, it's kind of funny, because I remember when they changed it, and then we, you know, when we write us, you know, our stories, we have to decide sometimes. Well, I know they're called North Shore Medical Center, but most people just say Salem Hospital. So we would actually use Salem Hospital a lot of times, too. So a lot of these things, when it comes to branding, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert in marketing or branding, and so I'm not sure how effective these things are. But I think, like you said, most people call it Salem Hospital. But I can see them wanting to emphasize Mass General and Brigham, that they have that expertise.
Absolutely. When I got my vaccination last week, it was at the Mass General facility at Union Hospital, and I'm still calling it Union Hospital. but Mass General, it carries some weight when you say MGH or Brigham and Women's.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, some people still ask me if I work at the Beverly Times, you know, which has been around since 1995, so all that work.
Oh, man, I do miss some of that stuff. I really do. Paul, this is great. I hope we don't have to wait another month. I don't know how the time goes by, but I also don't want to bug you. But I'd like to get together here in a couple of weeks, if that's appropriate with you.
Oh, yeah, sure, Rick. No, anytime. It's not bugging me, and I do. I really enjoy talking to you, and I always appreciate you, you know, promoting the news and just having the chance to talk to, you know, more of an audience about about what's going on the North Shore.
Yeah, it's great to talk to the writers, the sports writers, the news writers. And plus it connects. I mean, when people see you in the community, they know who you are and they know they can trust you. And I think that's just so important. With all the social media that's out there, the misinformation, the intentional wrong information, the slanted information, I think it's so important that we still have constructive, positive, and credible journalism.
Right. No, I appreciate that, Rick. And I think that's true. You know, when people talk about the media a lot, I really think they're not, you know, referring to local media a lot of times, because, you know, we don't get the same type of criticisms that you see when people, you know, blast the media for being, you know, partisan or not objective or so forth. It's different at the local level, where, as you say, we kind of, you know, we know people and, you know, we see them every day in the community, and we don't sort of burn bridges. You know, it's not all or nothing in these stories. You know, you have to work with people. So
right.
So hopefully newspapers can survive all this, and I think they will, you know, they will, and they are in some form or another, and keep doing the job of informing people about local news.
All right, that's Paul Layton of the Salem News with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.